Another island country is dealing with tragedy. New Zealand had been holding its collective breath for 29 coal miners. They've been trapped underground since an explosion last Friday. After the experience in Chile, there was hope of a rescue, but then last night, a second massive blast tore through the mineshaft, and authorities declared the men dead. The Prime Minister of New Zealand, John Key, addressed the nation.
29 men whose names and faces we've all come to know will never walk amongst us again. This is a national tragedy. A tragedy for the men's families, for their workmates and friends, for their community and our nation. New Zealand is a small country, a country where we are our brother's keeper. So to lose this many brothers at once strikes an agonising blow. Today, all New Zealanders grieve for these men. We are a nation in mourning.
Prime Minister John Key of New Zealand. The accident took place just outside the small town of Greymouth on New Zealand's South Island. The BBC's Phil Mercer is there. Phil, how is the town of Greymouth coping today?
Well, it's very early in the morning now, and the people of this small community are waking up to really digest the grim news that came through late yesterday. So it's a very, very sad day. And the local mayor said that this was this town's darkest ever hour.
Profound grief today, but also anger in Greymouth too. Can you explain why?
Some of the families of the 29 men were very anxious that the rescue operation picked up speed during the 5 days. Now, we had from the rescue authorities a very cautious and a very methodical approach to the rescue effort. And the simple reason for that is that there was toxic gas deep underground. The authorities said very high levels of carbon monoxide and dangerous amounts of methane had made the inside of the Pike River mine too unstable, too dangerous for rescue teams to enter. What they wanted to do was to build up a clear picture of the atmosphere inside the mine to determine when and whether it would ever be safe to send men in. Now, some of the family members believe that the rescue teams should have been sent in within hours of the initial explosion here last Friday, and they believe that that opportunity was lost because the authorities here were being far too cautious. Officials who were running the mining operation or the rescue operation say that it was so delicate and dangerous it simply couldn't be rushed. The mine manager said that if men rescuers were to be sent in, it would be like walking into the barrel of a gun, not knowing when and if it would go off. And of course, this second explosion, 5 days after the initial blast, does seem to vindicate their very cautious and methodical approach.
Surely the outcome in Chile, as rare as it is, gave heightened expectations to those families in Greymouth. Two men did manage to crawl out alive from that blast last Friday. Have they said what it was like down there?
The two men who survived were towards the outer reaches of the mine. And really, we have, I think, two examples really sum up the amazing survival and the tragedy in all of this. One of the survivors was late for work. He missed the bus and he was playing catch-up, essentially, and he was driving down in a truck through a vast access tunnel when the explosion occurred. Had he been on time, he too would have been dead. That force of that explosion blew him off his truck. And there was heroism too. A second survivor picked him up, and he's quite a large gentleman, and dragged him out to safety. Conversely, there's many tales of great tragedy. The youngest of the miners who died was 17 years of age. Friday was his first day on the job, and we understand from his mother that he was due to start work on Monday, but had pestered the mine management because he was so keen to get started in his new career as a miner that he wanted to start early. So he went down on Friday, and of course, he will never be seen alive again.
The BBC's Phil Mercer in Greymouth, New Zealand, the site of that tragic mine disaster that ended last night. Phil, thank you very much.
Thank you.